Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
My brilliance. Nina brought her brilliance. She's in the chat room. And I'm sure that anybody who's listening to this, well, you've got your brilliance with you because that's what I choose to believe. Okay. This show today is on writing. There is so much brilliance in writing. And one of the things that I like to think about writing that I think goes hand in hand, whether you're writing about fiction or you're writing about your memoirs or you're just not sure what to write. Okay, I got another echo. I don't know what that is. Okay, let's see if I still have an echo. I hope I don't. Anyways, okay. So one of the things that I believe goes hand in hand or what writing provides for us is the ability to free ourselves. If you need to free yourself of a situation that bothers you, you could write it out. If you need to free yourself of some bad feelings you have about somebody, you can write it out. If you feel like you've been involved in some form of injustice, whether you've done it or it's been done to you, you can write it out. And to me, that is one of life's many saving graces. I mean, it's because it's sort of like exercising the things that are affecting us negatively. And sometimes it's a way to exercise excessive energy at a, you know, so it's not just, you know, bouncing all over inside our heads. Sometimes it's a way to ground yourself when you've fallen so madly and crazily in love with somebody that you just can't think straight. I mean, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, who doesn't know about her? How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. It just, who knows what she would be acting like or had acted like if she hadn't sort of let out all these expressions of love that are inside her. And many people throughout my lifetime have told me that they're not writers, they can't write, and I just choose to not be convinced about that. I suspect you could say if you don't have any arms, you couldn't write, but we know of many artists who paint and write using their feet or using, there's the movie My Left Foot. There's the artist, I cannot remember her last name, her name was Jill. But anyway, she had lost both of her arms, and she used her mouth to paint. So expressing yourself is extremely important. I like to believe, well, this is what I believe, that things that get bottled up inside us, it's almost like some kind of errant molecule or something that's bouncing around and doing all kinds of, well, it can do a lot of damage if you're not allowing it to just release. Mostly it's the negative stuff. Sometimes it's just plain intensity that just needs to naturally exude from ourselves. Our energy is powerful. We have extremely powerful energy within us. And I'm I believe that that energy is something that needs to be shared with the world in some way, shape, or form. Maybe your energy comes out in the form of nurturing others, or like my friend Nina, she cooks and she helps people. She's a savior. She's one of those saviors. And that energy does incredible work. And I've said it before, and no, I'm not going to cry, but I've said it before and I'll continue to say it. None of us will even know exactly the way that she's changed the world just based on expressing that energy into helping children read, write, learn, be better stewards, have personal responsibility. All the children that have come through her walls, they're out there making the world a better place. Even the ones that seemed a little bit off kilter, I believe they've gotten that energy from her. Now, probably the easiest way to share your energy, because we all can't take care of children and we're not really all qualified to do so, we can write about it. You can write about the child you haven't had. You can write about, or to the children you do have. You can write to your parents. I had a situation with my father, and most people who know me know that I adore the old coot. He was an old coot. He was curmudgeon. He was a Barry, and most of them got sort of curmudgeon-type attitudes. We have attitudes, and we all laughingly call it the legacy, and that's sort of how we deal with when we're sort of irascible with each other, so or other human beings, unsuspecting human beings. But my father one time got upset with me, and he decided that he didn't really want to talk to me for 2 years. And I still called him. I'd still check on him. He'd be so excited to hear from his daughter until he realized it was this daughter and not the other. So that was okay. People have a right to their emotions and all that, and we still have a right to love them despite themselves or love them despite ourselves. I didn't go over to his house and force myself into his presence, but I continued to love him from afar, and I will always do that. So my father, he wasn't a perfect man. He was like all human beings. He had mistakes. When I was born, he was a much younger man and not as experienced and not as wise. And a lot of children experience that with their parents. And, yeah, we get our noses down a joint and we get upset. And there were a lot of things that I cried about. I had hoped Dad would be a different way about different things, but the reality is Dad is what Dad was, and I love Dad how he was. So the way that I dealt with what was hurting my heart is I wrote a letter to him. Writing it out, no holds barred, everything that I felt that, you know, should have been said or possibly should have been done or the things that I felt were bothering me or that I didn't like or that bothered me about how things were done with my siblings, the whole thing, everything, I wrote it out. Wrote out probably about 3-page letter. It wasn't, you know, 10-page. It wasn't a book. It was just the key issues and my thoughts about it. And when I got done, it was exactly as if I had been exercised. All this pent-up anger and disappointment and the tears, all that stuff came out. And I had decided at the time, I'm going to send this to him and then he can just deal with himself. And I read the letter to my mom, and she was like, wow, that's a really good letter. And she said, it'd be good for him to hear it. I read the letter to my sister, and she said, oh, he really needs to hear that. That'd be good for Dad to hear that. And I read it to one of my brothers, and he also agreed Dad needed to hear it. Another one of my brothers has already passed, so he didn't hear it, but spiritually he heard it. And the last brother I read it to, he listened to it, and he said, well, he said, you know, I think that was good for you to write it out. He said, you know, I don't have a problem with Dad. He's just the way he is. I'm used to it. And that was his way of handling it, and I thought that was great. And my sweetie wanted me to send it, and he really wanted me to send it. But I found that as it wasn't because I was scared, but I just found that was all my stuff with my dad. It was all the things that I really needed to get out, and I had been holding inside me way too long. And it didn't really matter whether Dad read it, knew about it or not. From that moment on, I did stand up for myself, and I did not allow my father to make me cry, quote-unquote, because no one can make us do anything. And my relationship with my dad just went into overdrive fabulous. Yeah, he was still Dad, and occasionally he would say things that were sort of would probably hurt someone else or the old me before the letter, but it didn't bother me anymore. You know, I just, you know, throw back at him, like, look, you old coot, da-da-da-da. And he, at first, was sort of shocked that I would just come back at him like, I'm not backing down. And then he started laughing. And after that, I think that took a lot of pressure off Dad of having to always be right. Always be a good daddy, always say the right thing. He just felt like he could be himself. And quite honestly, that's the best place for any of us to be. And it's the easiest way to love anyone. So, catharsis. Writing can give you catharsis. It can help clean out a lot of cobwebs in our soul, in our thinking, in our personality, in our life. It's certainly easier to clean out than the clutter that exists in my house in different spaces of my house. So writing is easier. And I write, well, I don't think I've written about the clutter yet, but you know, I'll get to that. I got other things to do. But I think that it's really important for you to understand that everybody has the ability to write. Even if you have a hard time with literacy, if you haven't learned to read yet, if you have learned to read but it takes you some time, I think that people who sound out and read sentences and till they're better at it, I think it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my entire life. I know it doesn't sound like the typical thing that people say, but when you're watching somebody trying to sound out a word, ma-ind, or some other sentence, they're trying to get through the sentence, they're working so hard to get to the communication that's used by most people, and they care that much about people to communicate with them. You know, what does that say about somebody who does that? I know people can say, oh, it's about, you know, so they can fill out job applications or so that they don't feel so stupid. The reality is people who are trying to figure out ways to communicate, especially the one that's used by most people, words, that's somebody who's trying to connect to your soul and who you are, even though it doesn't seem that obvious. People learn other languages so that they communicate on a broader level. People learn about computer programming so that they can communicate into the world beyond particular words. Listen, this communication is what it's all about when you can't necessarily touch one another. And sometimes, you know, some people you don't really want to touch or you don't want them touching you. Seriously, I'm not trying to be creepy, but some people can give us the creeps, and I'm not saying that they're necessarily creepy. And, you know, there are some that are creepy, but communication is a way for you to interact with everyone. And one of the basic ways beyond body language, which can be easily misunderstood, is writing. Sometimes even what we say is misunderstood. But when it's written, then it's usually hard to refute. Which is why some people don't want to write things down because, you know, they have sort of a sideline or a business or a little something-something that, the government looks at the records, maybe there might be problems. But I really, truly do believe that writing is the key to freeing yourself in so many ways. And if you can't write, well, you can think. So, but if you can write, you've got a magic carpet ride right there. So I thought it would be really fun if the last half of the show, or at least the last 20 minutes or so, that we could all do a poem together or a little story or something like that. It is not not forcing it on you. Just we can do it together. This is National Poetry Writing Month. And if you look it up online, NAPORIMO. So that's NAPORIMO. If you type that into your search engine, then it'll probably bring you to their page through WordPress, a brilliant service. And you can actually see different poems that people have been writing. There's a challenge on right now because it is National Poetry Writing Month, 30-day challenge that NAPORIMO put out. And so I've been part of that challenge on top of, let's see, my radio shows and, let's see, writing my dissertation. I've got those poems that I'm supposed to do daily. I also have avocational type writing to do, and I also have another class, my last core class in graduate school for psychology. So I have a lot of things to do. I haven't even added in, you know, housework, doggy play, feeding, cooking, cleaning, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of stuff going on. So, of course, I needed one more thing to do in my life, and that was a 30-day poetry challenge. And I'm hanging in there. I'm about 1 day, 2 days off. But I'm almost finished with the one poem that's supposed to be for yesterday. And the poem we do today, which I think would be great if you would allow us to, I think it would be great if we could put something together and then I could put your name as the authors and you'd be an author in this NAPORIMO Poetry Challenge. So if you'd like to join in at some point with writing a little poem, the number is 646-727-2914. And hey, folks, I am very flexible. Okay, I'm flexible about a lot of things. I'll say that a little more correct. I'm flexible about writing, and it doesn't have to be a poem. It could be a little story. You never know what few little words you write, what they could turn into. Even if you were to write a few little words and you just think, I don't know, and you just put it away and just, you know, try to make a file or have a file or have an envelope, something where you can safe haven your written word. It's real easy to ignore the importance of what you write. And it is also true that you may not know what you write, how important it is. So I wrote a lot of things when I was younger, and I just didn't really think about how important it was. So they would kind of get shuffled about, and then they would either get lost or thrown out. I don't think I really took my talent seriously. And if you think that someone's going to come and say you're the most perfect writer on earth, if you think that somebody is going to do that, or if you think that somebody doing that is going to make you feel secure or perfect about your writing, well, you'd probably be wrong. I'm not going to say for certain, because that's not really for me to say about others, but most likely you'd be mistaken on some level, because the only person who can tell you that you are a writer is you. You're the only person that can make that determination. Yes, there's a lot of learned men and women out in the world, people with Nobel Peace Prizes, people who have written hundreds and thousands of books or whatever. Maybe they're bestsellers. Maybe their books have been made into movies, sonnets, songs, whatever. It doesn't mean that they have the end-all, say-all about your ability to write. They have their opinion, and they're entitled to it, but it doesn't make it truth. And your truth, only you can come to, only you can state that. So, if you're going to be a writer, that's going to be your choice. And maybe it's going to take writing a few little things for you to see it. Maybe it'll take you writing a few things and sharing it with others, and maybe they'll see it. I used to be much more that way, where I was looking for other people to validate that I was a writer. And the thing is, I liked most of the work I wrote, and yet I just didn't value my opinion enough to acknowledge my writing, my little babies. My writing is sort of like my little babies. I didn't give them the credit that was due them. And if you have children, most likely everybody in the world doesn't love your children. That whole only a mother could love kind of thing. There are probably a lot of people that love your children, but it doesn't mean everybody does. And so you being the mother of your writing, or the father of your writing, the creator of your writing, that's your stuff. That comes from you, and that has to do with loving you. Every word you write, part of you. So the more I learned to love myself, the more I got to understand just how important and incredible my work was. And I actually ended up putting out a little book. Anybody can put out a book. Anybody can publish. And I don't know. There might be, well, anybody can publish. You can self-publish. You could write out a book and put it together by hand, and you could go sell it to someone else. Is that a published book? Is it not a real book? Who's to say? You know, whether you have an ISBN number or not doesn't necessarily make your book a real book or not a real book. Okay, some experiences that I've had with writing. Because I love words, and I think that words are everything, I love words. I can't even express it more than that. And yes, I do have a problem with the word love. inanimate objects, but I don't see words as inanimate objects personally. I believe that words are expressions of other human beings. I believe it's other human beings' energy. I believe that when I'm loving the words that are coming from others, I'm loving them. I believe that when I'm looking at my words and I'm loving them, I'm loving myself. So, yeah, it's sort of convoluted, but I can't imagine a word without a world without words. I just cannot imagine it. And it's a form of communication, and I guess that's the thing that would worry me the most, is not being able to communicate as succinctly as I like to do. So when I was a camp counselor many years ago, during summer camp, I'm just now realizing the things that I've done to try to help foster people's writing. I've been doing this for so eons. I was a camp counselor, and it was a camp where children went away for a few days, weekend or whatever. And it was Girl Scout camp, one of the camps that I was a counselor at. And there were children that came to camp. Their parents sent them to a different camp. I had a camper whose parent sent her to a different camp every week. So as soon as she was done at our camp, she had maybe one day back home, and then she was sent off to another camp. And she was not a pretty happy little camper. What's interesting is, even though her parents were sending her off to camps all the time, they weren't sending her care packages. And care packages are really huge at camp, and usually it's from people who don't want to write as much. But one of the things that I did notice is the children at camp, what was more important than a care package full of cookies and candy was a letter, just a simple letter. Boy, I get so emotional. Okay, dry up drip. But anyway, just a simple letter at camp, just to get a letter. When you're sitting at the breakfast table getting ready to eat that rock hard oatmeal and, you know, dried up raisins and maybe some kind of who knows what kind of eggs, but you love it because you get used to eating, you know, camp slop. Everyone else who gets called up to get a letter, there's just something incredible about that. And you could just see the faces of all the children who weren't getting letters. So finally, I was digging through all this old stuff. There's old, I don't know what, paperwork that dated all the way back to like the 1950s when the Girl Scouts had started, and just different information about this camp that was in Longview, Washington, up in the woods. There was a little character they had called Tadger, T-A-J-A-R, and he was sort of like a grinchy kind of looking character, but he wasn't mean. Somebody had built some story about Tadger sort of living in the woods and watching out for us and to be good citizens. And so I decided that I would start having Tadger write letters to the children who weren't getting letters. And I told all the children at camp about Tadger and that Tadger wanted to get letters, and it had been a while. And all the children in camp were writing letters to Tadger. If I didn't have enough to do as a camp counselor, now I have to stay up at night writing letters to children who were just so excited to know about this creature living in the woods around them. I mean, you know, do these kids not see good monster movies? Okay. I was a monster to myself. But anyway, it just the way it brightened all the girls' lives. And the girl was sent to all the camps, da-da-da-da. It was the first time she said she'd ever gotten a letter. Of course, you know, I just played it off, and then I went in another room and cried my eyes out. And I just hope to God that somehow she's living a great life. But I all these little things about Tadger. And then one day we had to do some little gifty things or whatever, and I didn't have time to go out and get gifts or whatever. I was so busy with the writing, so busy doing things for camp, my director, blah, 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 my kids. And so I wrote a little I wrote a little story. Just a quick little story that watch my time. Yeah, I wrote a little story, and it was about a treat because I was at camp and I didn't have a lot of time to myself. And one time I actually was standing in the laundry room door, gym, looking out at the camp, and I was just looking at the trees, and I thought, you know, can you just imagine if there's these big, tall, giant pine trees and a little, tiny, little tree that, you know, is growing with these tall trees. Just imagine how that little tree would look up to all these other pine trees and how these other pine trees would somehow protect the little tree when it's really windy and when it's snowing or if there's any kind of little fire or something. And I wrote, that's what I gave my secret pal. I gave them this little story. It was just this little story about this tree, and the big tree would bend over and its fronds would protect the little tree. How the little tree was nurtured. Oh, brother. So this person got this little story, and somehow the person who got the little story decided that they were going to make it into a song because she was a music major in college, and she took these little weird words from someone she didn't even know who wrote it, and she made this song, and all the campers loved the song. Holy cow. Then that became one of the camp songs, and that's what the kids were always asking this other counselor to sing it. And I remember after camp, everyone was so wanted to get the song, The Little Tree, some little words that I wrote. And all this sort of came because I didn't have time because I was trying to be Tadger. You just have no idea where just even a few words are going to lead you. There's poems like haiku where it's only three or four lines and it has to do with the number of syllables for each line. Very simple words that say so much. If you were just to write about how you feel right now, it would probably, just if you just said something like, pick a word that represented how you feel at the moment, that word would be a start to a poem. People are on there. People are on the chat room. I'm sorry, and I'm not even seeing you guys chatting, but if there's something that needs to be said, I trust that Nina will let me know. Okay, and so anyway, I started with a phrase that was going through my head because I was trying to finish my paper 2 days late for my graduate class, and I was tired, and I also was thinking about all this other stuff I need to do, not to mention this week's class and some things on my dissertation and some books I got to read and blah, blah, blah. All this stuff is swirling around in my head. One of our family members died the other day, our family member's mother, and it was just one thing after another, and even last night the moon. It's amazing to me how much is constantly going on. So I wrote a line. I wrote Swirling Whirling Dervish. That's what I wrote down. And I was just thinking to myself, oh, man, if I could just get the world to stop for a minute, I could just think and maybe get some things done because I'm I'm perpetually after the eight ball somehow. I'm not on top of it. I'm just behind it. And so then I thought, swirling, whirling dervish, swirling, whirling dervish. And then I wrote, I wish the world would stop. I mean, that's what I was feeling. That's where I went. And just like I said, I just wanted to catch my breath. So I wrote, give me a chance to catch my breath. And I thought, oh, I could rhyme something with something. Rhyming poems are the easiest poems to do. And I thought, or lyrical ones. And I thought, well, is the world's got to stop because, and then I wrote, my head's about to pop. And so then I thought, well, there's a little bit of a pattern there. Let me try to stick with it. And so I went to, well, I've got three words. Let me try to keep the three words at the top of the stanza. And I wrote, jumping, humping service. I like the idea of the last word rhyming with the first word of the first stanza. I mean, the third word of the first stanza. So then service rhymed with dervish. And, I mean, you know, it's close enough. And then I thought, well, something to rhyme with. Well, I said, I wish these walls were low because I do feel like I'm constantly trying to traverse some monolithic type barriers to getting everything done. And then I said, I thought, well, I'm climbing what? And I thought, I'm climbing, climb. So I said, I climb, climb, climb some more. And what's going to rhyme with the upper part? I thought, okay, why? I just don't know. So as I haven't finished a poem, but I'll tell you how far I got. So you can just see how this thing comes along. Swirling, whirling dervish, I wish the world would stop. Give me a chance to catch my breath. My head's about to pop. Jumping, humping service. I wish these walls were low. I climb, climb, climb some more. Why? I just don't know. Weepy, creepy anguish. I wish it were a no-news day. Can't seem to find what's informative. Reporters defile with the words that they say. And then as I was talking to Nina, I thought, I can't keep this all negative. I gotta have, because I like to reframe things in the positive because, well, I just need the extra boost. And she was talking about, oh, this world has just got to get better. And I couldn't, she said, I just couldn't handle any more something bad today. And I thought about it and I thought, yeah, I mean, I don't really want to do a long, drawn-out poem. And I just want to do something that's sort of quick. But I don't want it to all be about bad or that I'm just snowed under. And I thought I need to have hope. And so the next line of the last stanza, I'm going to make it the last stanza because, well, I said, reaching, praying, flourish. Flourish rhymes with anguish, service, and dervish. The rest of the poem isn't finished. I got three more lines, but, you know, I'm going to get that because I can write, and I am a writer. And I know because I said so. So that all happened between, it was about 5:30 and 5:47. So that was a 17-minute working things out in my mind before I actually started the show. And I just, it can be that quick. It can be that easy. If you can't think of a lot of words to rhyme, there's everything on the internet for rhyming. There's Rhyme Zone, Rhyme Zing, Rhyme Rhyme. Just type rhyming in there. You can even put in the search engine, rhymes with monstrous. And something will come up. Let's see. I'll even look it up for you because monstrous isn't one of those words that I like. Monsters, creepy, monstrous. Okay. And you might want to kind of spell it right. They might have some trouble if you don't. But anyway. So And they give you all kinds of information. So if I had wanted monstrous in my poem somewhere, the N rhymes they had, for they even give you the number of syllables. And that can be very helpful when you're writing haiku, where syllables are important. And so for one syllable, they have thus, thus, just, you know, whatever. Then they have two syllables, purpose, discuss, purchase. You know, these are all going rhyming with monstrous. Monstrous, broncos, monstrous, canvas, monstrous, Dallas, Texas. Sorry. And then there's syllables that are three and four syllables, apparatus, continuous, some continuous, monstrous, whatever. The continuous, monstrous, Dallas, Texas, precocious, creepy, Jesus, tremendous, anything. You could make a poem out of anything. And when it's rhyming and it's lyrical, it's fun to say, and it's easy for people to connect to. Most people don't connect as easily to free verse, but we tend to take free verse poems a little more seriously. So anyways, I would like to share some other information with you about writers. Writers actually give really good advice for other writers, especially writers that have sort of made it, as you would say. And I did put on the link, to access the show, Famous Advice on Writing from the Collected Wisdom of Great Writers, like Fitzgerald, Hemingway, Sontag, Vonnegut, Love Vonnegut, Bradbury, Orwell, a whole bunch of other people on there. And so I'm going to give you some of the information that they've given. And these are things to think about, because when you write, sometimes there's all these weird fears that come in. Oh, like for instance, well, everybody's already written about love. What more can you say about it? Well, whatever you say, the reality is whatever you say about love is not the same thing as what everyone else says. Unless, of course, you mimic Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And you could even write a poem in her style, but with different words, so that you're not plagiarizing. That's a whole other show. And we have Anne Lamott. She's a famous writer and a very creative person, and she said about writing and why perfectionism kills creativity. She said, perfectionism is the voice of the oppressor, the enemy of the people. It will keep you cramped and insane your whole life. It's an unattainable fallacy. What is perfection except whatever you think in your mind? And if you think that something is perfect and nobody else does, is it perfect? And who are you to tell me it's perfect or not perfect? So the only person that can decide what's perfect from what you write is you. And perfectionism, it's a little more creepy than just the word perfect. Perfectionism is sort of like slave driving. So then there's some, if anybody has ever watched Justified, if you ever watched it, great little series, it's very interesting with Walter Coggins, adore him, and Timothy Oliphant. They're just a wonderful sort of modern-day Western kind of whatever. Anyway, that was written by Elmore Leonard, and he's a pretty famous Western writer. He said, for 10 rules of writing, he said, if it sounds like writing, rewrite it. Now, that's perfect, because that's basically telling you if it's contrived and it's not from your soul and it's not from your heart, then it's just not, it's just not writing. I think it's just pandering to somebody else. Some other writers that might... Isabel Allende. Probably anybody who's ever written anything knows about her work. And let's see, I'm trying to think of her book right off the top of my... Oh, she wrote Love in the Time of Cholera. That was one of them. Anyways, Isabel Allende wrote, on writing brings order to the chaos of life. Holy cow, is that such a perfect thing for today? Nina was feeling sort of like, whoa. And I'm thinking chaos is my middle name. So she said, show up, show up, show up. And after a while, the muse shows up too. So that's one of those things when you're faced with paper and you got pen and you feel like you don't know what to write. I want to speak to that real quickly. One of the things about blockages or writing blocks, I believe it tends to come from some external or internal pressure to be or do something beyond just writing. It doesn't have to be perfect. It's sort of speaking back to the perfectionism issue. Just write. I don't have writing blocks, but I do. I see things for writing through paths. Like if there's always paths that I'm always going down, and if there's anything I do is I take my time, maybe too much, to decide which path to take. One of the things that freed me up with my writing, even in school, was that there's not really a wrong or right to it. There's no wrong or right to the writing. There are some rules. For instance, in psychology, we have to follow a specific writing format. It's called scholarly writing. We can't use words like, we can't use conjunctions in our words like can't, his, he is, anything with the apostrophe S. We're not even supposed to use things like her family's. For instance, scholarly writing, if I was going to say her family's car was involved in an accident, I wouldn't be able to write family's apostrophe S. I would have to rephrase the sentence and say the car of her family was involved in an accident. There's something about the rules for that in scholarly writing, and it makes it more professional. So there are formats. Just like in poems, if you're going to write haiku, then you've got to follow the rules. There are a couple of different rules out there, but there's the original haiku form, there's the more moderate haiku, and whatever form you're writing, just follow the formatting style. But when it comes to the content of your writing, if my teacher, for instance, says you need to write about the psychological impact of abortion, then I would do my research about abortion and blah, 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 but I used to think that there was a right way of what to say, like the instructor expected me to write about this, 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 or this. Well, the reality is the instructor doesn't know everything there is to know about abortion, even if they are considered an expert. And there might be some aspect of abortion that hits society in a psychological manner that's not typical. And if I find it, and I find it interesting, then that's what I write about. It's that simple. I may not write about the psychological impact according to religion. I might end up just writing about the psychological impact of abortion on a sibling who finds out their parent had an abortion. It's not necessarily what people talk about or think about, how it affects the rest of the family. Usually it's about the parents of the girl or the husband and the woman, whatever. But if there's some other little viewpoint and I find it, then I write about it. And I support my writing with information that I find. Okay. Before I was locked up, I was trying to write for the teacher, and I have no idea what the teacher's thinking. So since you don't know what the rest of the world is thinking or what they want exactly, forget about it. Just write what you think about anything you're wanting to write about, no matter what it is. Let's write that poem. Okay, I know there's some guinea pigs in the chat room, and I'm going to start some trouble. So all I'm asking for now is a few words. And anybody? A couple of words. Blah, blah. Yeah, we got some jokesters in there. They'll pay. Annoying is a good word. We have annoying. And we still have blah, blah. And talking. So, okay. If I were to add a word, let's see if I could just come up with something out of the air. Poignant. Okay, here we go. I'm going to put it. And I need, okay, you have light. Yeah, put that in there. So we've got, poignant, we've got annoying, blah, 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 talking, and we've got light. Okay, I go to a poem, and here we are. So here's a poem that Melody and Nina and I just wrote for today. And the title of the poem is, I'm going to put still. Okay, here's the poem. It's still. Poignantly annoying, blah, 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 talking light. It's a good chance I'm talking to me. What do you think, ladies? And the name of the poem is Still. So that's the poem that's going to go on my NaPoWriMo. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I like it. But that's enough words, lady. So, we got still. And again, I'm going to read the poem again. We wrote a little poem that is that easy. And this is free verse. Still. Poignantly, annoying, blah, 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 talking light. It's a good chance I'm talking to me. And if that doesn't say anything about trying to steal the voices in your head, I don't know what does. Okay, excellent. So I'm going to put your names on the poem unless you say absolutely not, but I do believe that you were writers in collaboration with me of this poem. Thank you. So that was basically our show about writing, folks. Yeah, we are going to be famous. And I don't doubt it. I don't know what for, but I assume we're going to be famous. And so this has been a show about writing. I believe that I've given you some tools on how to just start. Get the pen, get the paper, see what comes. Don't judge. Don't apologize. Don't say you're sorry. Don't even think about what somebody else thinks of it, other than just think, just know that these words are coming from you. They're your babies. Hello?
I just want to say something here. I don't know, folks. Doesn't she just make it all sound so darn simple?
Maybe. Simple.
Maybe whoever is listening should write a poem and submit it to us. What do you think?
I think that sounds awesome. If you write a poem that you would like to share on this show, or would love to read it, either we could read it on LNB or we could read it here on BYO Brilliance next week. Although I believe next week we're going to be talking about cooking, but hey, that's okay. It's a poem, and it'll be the first thing that we'll do at the beginning of the show. So if you're listening to the show, or you come in and you listen to it later and you write something based on what you said, provided it's sort of clean enough for me to say on the air, then I would just love to read it, or maybe Nina will, who knows, next week on the show, BYO Brilliance. And
yep.
Yes, it is really that simple, folks. And I can't think of any kind of poem that you could write that either couldn't be rearranged by yourself or with help, or that it'll just stand the way it is. Who's to say it isn't a poem? Who's to say it isn't?
And if you want to submit a poem, you can put it in the comments on Blog Talk, and we will gather them. And read them, as long as, like Brenda said, they are clean, and we can read them on the air, or you can find either one of us on Facebook.
Well, I'll give you my email address for the website. My website, Jimson. It's JimsonBerry@gmail.com. You can always send your poem in there, and I would love to share them. And if you wanted, I could post it in my guest writer section on my website, JimsonBerry.com. So, but if you do write something in, I mean, somebody's going to see it. And I would just welcome it. And it was a great idea, Nina. Thank you. And
so
with that, I think we should talk about what's coming up for the shows along with the network. Let's see here. I had
Wednesday
it right here.
Is psychic readings with Lennis at
tomorrow
3
at
p.m.
3.
Yes, and Thursday is filmcology with Brenda.
That's right, and psychology, and the movie is Where the Heart Is. This time I know the main character, Natalie Portman, and Ashley Judd, and James Frayne. These are all characters in this. It's a movie. It's an older movie. It was made in 1994, I believe. And so 10 years ago? Yeah, something like that. And it's a beautiful film. Pardon?
That's 20 years.
Oh, was it 20 years? Okay, so I don't remember what it was made, folks. But Where the Heart Is with Natalie Portman. Find it, watch it, join the discussion on Thursday. Filmcology has changed to 6 p.m. as well. So from now on, Brenda shows that are strictly Brenda shows, or that I pretty much host, I'm not saying I'm the only one there, but are at 6 p.m. So Filmcology will be 6 p.m. on Thursdays, Where the Heart Is, Pacific Time.
And Friday we have Traffic Jam with Lennis at 3 p.m., not sure if she is doing it from Blog Talk or not this week, but she will let us all know. Yeah. Saturday is Time to Love, but Lydia will not be doing a show this week as she is going to be in Boston as her husband is running the Boston Marathon.
That's right, and today's the anniversary of the horrific death that occurred due to some lost individuals. But we say our prayers for all the people that were affected in Boston. But we do know for a fact that Lydia's husband wanted to go back. He's been doing the Boston Marathon for a number of years. He didn't happen to be there last year, but he's going for solidarity to keep up the tradition and not allow lost individuals to disseminate or to ruin what is a really lovely tradition. It just goes to show the strength of the survivors and the rest of us in the world who are still giving love. But she'll be talking to us about that the following week, right?
Yeah, she's doing an interview with her husband, Mike, on the 26th. I imagine they're going to talk about the Boston Marathon and what he had to do to train for that and everything else, and it should be a really interesting show.
Oh, excellent.
Is Lennis doing a show on Sunday?
I don't know that Lennis will actually be doing so. She has Easter vittles. She'd be cooking for Easter. So I would probably assume Easter, if there is an Easter show, it's just she has variety. We'll see what she comes up with. But otherwise, take a day off, folks. Spend some time with your family. Eat some food.
Yeah, lots of good food. I know I'm.
Yeah, my sweetie sent some chocolate, so I mean they're waiting outside my door, and that's probably going to be my Easter dinner. Not really, but get some eggs, do some Easter stuff. Remember why you're family, and not all the bad stuff either. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And then we're back to Monday, and we have Ellen B., Passage to Empowerment, and we are going to be talking about forgiveness and apologies.
Right. Yeah. Oh, hey. Yeah, that can tag onto this show so easily. You could write out a lot of stuff. Matter of fact, get out your pen and paper, do some forgiveness writings to people who need it from you and to yourself if you need it. And then write some apologies to people. It doesn't matter if they've gone, they've passed on or not. It doesn't matter if you haven't seen them or you may never see them again. Just exercise that out of your soul with a word. And you can call in, right? That's the whole point, right, Nina?
Yeah, it is.
Call in to Ellen. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, call in and share with us. We'd love to share with you. So, please share with us. And I think that's it until your show next Tuesday.
Yeah, and next Tuesday, BYO Brilliance is the brilliance of cooking. And I'm going to have an expert on the show. That would be Nina. She's always cooking. So she's going to tell us, maybe give us some recipes, and she can talk to us about what's so brilliant about cooking, maybe even how she first started her children cooking, how she first learned to cook. It's a cooking show. We'll be cooking. I won't be cooking.
Well, this is the first
that
time
I'll talk about.
I'm hearing about this. I'm so glad you asked me.
I don't have to ask you. You do what I tell you. Get back in your box.
I guess
yes,
I'm going to have to be prepared
love
a little
one another.
Bit.
We can't afford not to. It'd get even more grim. No. Anyway. That was the brilliance of writing. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Nina, for running the chat. Thank you, Melody, for coming and helping with the show. And don't forget, folks, we did it in just a few moments. We did it in less than 10 minutes. We wrote a poem because we just threw out some words, the three of us. Still, poignantly annoying. Blah, blah, blah. Talking light. It's a good chance I'm talking to me. Have a great and brilliant life. Talk to you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
like,